Let's remain standing for a while, and we are going to continue in prayer. But it's important that we look into the scripture, the book of James. James. Let's go to the book of James, chapter 4, and verse number 3. Then we continue in prayer.
James 4, verse 3. Mm-hmm. Ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lusts.
Okay, one more time. Let's read it together.
Ye ask and receive not, because you ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lusts.
Okay, you see, he's saying you ask. The question is not whether you ask or not. You ask and receive not. So the problem that most people have is when it comes to receiving, they can't receive. In as much as they know to ask, some they ask amiss, though they ask. You ask and you receive not. And the reason being that you ask amiss. How do you ask amiss? He gives us the reason that if the reason for your asking is lust, if the reason for your asking is lust, if your desire is to consume what you've asked for in lust,
that ye may consume it upon your lusts.
If lust is the motivation, if lust is the motivation, what you're asking for, if you are to get it, how you consume it is important. If lust is the motivation, if you are praying, you are asking, you are making demands, and lust is the motivation, it means it is lust that makes your asking and asking amiss. So, what God is going to give you, you must understand, what we ask for will definitely be given, and it is for our consumption. But it is how we consume what we receive from prayer. Lust should not be a part of our lifestyle. Lust. I like the way he puts it right from the beginning of the chapter, that there is a lot of conflict and a lot of war that happens around you simply because lust, which is within your members.
Verse 1.
Uh-huh.
From whence come wars and fightings among you?
Notice he's telling you where wars are coming from. There are wars
and fightings among you.
There are wars and there is conflict among you, and he's about to reveal the source.
Come they not hence, even of your lusts that war in your members?
Before there is any war among you, there was war in your members. So if that war in your members of your body as an individual, if you cannot resolve that conflict within your own body, it is that warfare that you bring into the corporate body of Christ, the church. So you must learn to deal with lust that resides in certain members of your body. So that's the thing that is going to cause you to ask amiss. it should not be because you are lusting after the house, you are lusting after the car, you are lusting after the job. You must ask with the right intentions. You need it. You need the product, and the reason why you need, you desire the product, the intentions are clean, are clear. It's not because of lust. Lust causes people to ask and they receive not.
ISV, mm-hmm. You ask for something but do not get it, mm-hmm. because you ask for it for the wrong reasons.
For the wrong reasons.
For your own pleasure.
For your own pleasure. Also, if you continue reading that same chapter, you get to a place where it even says you have not because you ask not.
Verse 2. Ye lust and have not, ye kill and desire to have, and cannot obtain.
You cannot obtain.
Ye fight and war, yet ye have not, because ye ask not.
You have not because you ask not. I know it's a very stubborn statement to then tell somebody who has not that you have not because you haven't asked. Not many people can believe you. Neither can they believe it's in the Bible. Anyone here without, anyone here, in fact, everyone here without, it is because you haven't asked. Had you asked, you would be having as we speak. It's as stubborn as that. You are without whatever you can think of because you are yet to ask. But how come I've asked? You asked amiss. If the asking was without lust, it would have been given to you at this point in time. So look at it again now. Now you know, in as much as you are angry with that scripture, you can even be angry with the preacher, whoever is going to quote that verse for you. But this is the truth. I have not because I've asked not. If I think I've asked and I still don't have, I have to revisit the asking. How did I ask? It was an ask, yes, but amiss. And what made me to miss? Lust. You want to consume the product in your lust. Get rid of that lust. Your intentions are supposed to be right, are supposed to be pure. There shouldn't be any person that you are seeking to fix with that product. So I'm done. We are going to pray. And as the Spirit of God leads, what I know is that everything as of today, I'm not sure of yesterday, but today, if you are going to ask for anything, anything. So what you have today is a blank what? Check. You have come to simply what? Sign. Sign.
Sign.
You tell your neighbor, sign. I'm telling you the only reason why I'm here today. It is not to preach. I'm going to witness a signing. Have you ever heard of a commissioner of oath? Yes. it's not just what you sign, how you sign. It's important that there is need for the presence of somebody. And that is what I've come here to do. So we are going to pray. For how long? I don't know. We are not going to be here for too long. You'll be going home very soon. But I want you to ask that thing that you once asked for. That thing. The only thing that was holding you now from receiving, it's not that God is not interested in giving you. No, we have graduated from that. We know all things were freely given. The aspect now is on receiving. Receiving. Everything was given to you, and yet you don't have everything given to you. You can only have it at the point of receiving, not asking, receiving. Everything was given to mankind. Yet mankind, we are still in lack of even what was freely given. We are lacking. It's one thing to be given, it's another for it to be received. I've told you before, when Elijah gave a mantle to Elisha, all that happened there was the falling of the mantle. It fell not on Elisha. It fell on the ground. It means it was given. But Elisha needed to receive, pick it up. It was given. From that day on, Elisha would have lived a life with zero anointing, with zero grace, with zero impartation. Yet the impartation had already been given, and yet to be received. It's one thing for God to give, it's another for the one given to know how to pick it up. Now, I say this in closing as we start to pray now. Remember, I gave you a scripture, no greater love than this, that a friend should lay down his life for a friend. Laying down of a life for a friend. That's exactly what Jesus did on the cross. It wasn't just an act of him dying on the cross, but laying down a life for a friend.
John 15:13.
Uh-huh.
Greater love hath no man.
No man has this love.
That a man lay down his life for his friend.
A man, who's that man?
Jesus.
What did he do?
He laid down his life.
What did he lay down?
His life.
Now, let's look at the reason. For who?
For his friend.
But the day the friend picks up that life, what expires is friendship. What starts from that day is sonship. What starts from that day is communion with God. You become a partaker of that same nature, because it is his life that you would have what? Picked up. Now, the question is, what if we don't see the friend living the life of the man? It is up to the friend to pick up the life that was laid down. The life was laid down, that how the mantle fell. The life was laid down. It was made available. But how come a friend doesn't seem to have that life? It's up to the friend to then what? Pick up the life that was made available. So you don't question God. You don't ask for it again. It was already laid down back to the question, how come I don't seem to be living that life? It's up to you to decide. You pick it up. He has made the God life available. It's up to you as a friend to come and pick it up. And from that day onwards, you become a partaker of that same nature of God, because it is no longer your life anymore. It is His life, which is not the human life, the life of God, which was laid down by God for a friend to pick it up. So you might think that vase is false. How come we don't see friends living like their God? Because friends are yet to pick the life that God what? Laid down. As we are praying now, we are picking up a life. Not this one that you have been living, a life. There is prayer for just for that. Not you are not asking for God to provide it. That prayer is dealing with your inabilities to pick things. Your inner, what restricts you, the lust that stops you from picking what God has made available. And you come out of prayer, you think God has given it to me. Ah, He made it available. It was simply prayerlessness that was disqualifying you from picking. Whatever God has given was given to prayerful people, people of prayer. So when you pray, it's as though you receive in that moment. Exactly, that's what is happening there. But it is because God has already given all things to prayerful people. What was disqualifying you for all those things was prayerlessness. Now that you have prayed, you find your spirit picking things. Are you following? You know, sometimes I see most people, they waste their time in prayer. Because they don't know what prayer is setting them up for. Prayer conditions you for an immediate success, immediately. Immediately, you become successful. Before you can see it financially, before you can go back to your work tomorrow, immediately, you become success yourself as you are praying. But people, they don't know what to do with that conditioning. They don't know what to do with that conditioning. What am I supposed to do? Now that I've been conditioned for success, what am I supposed to? They only know how to pray. They only know how to pray and even what to pray for. And then when prayer then conditions them for success, they cannot take that other step forward, knowing what to do with what they have received. What to do. Simple things that you have in your hands, it takes God to ask you, what is it that you have in your hand? And you say, it's a rod. And if God were to ask you, so what are you likely to do with a rod? The functions of that rod are so limited according to your understanding. Until God begins to show you further manifestations of that rod, what that rod can become. The little that you have, what do you have in your house? Little oil. But she had no idea. Do you know what to do with oil when it is little? Right now, you have a little idea, a very small dream. But do you know what to do with the little that you have been given? Until God starts giving you instructions on what to do with the little. until you start to explode. It's a matter of months. You start to explode. It's one thing for the prophet to tell you, this is what is going to happen to you, this is what. But when an opportunity is given, where the check is blank, and you know what you desire, and you know it's not out of lust, and then the gates are open, and God says, go ahead today. Make them ask, and they will not ask amiss today. Make them ask. You will know by reason of this day that there is precision in prayer. You pray and you hit the target. Our intention is not to get God to do anything. We are praying so that we line up ourselves with the finished work, what He has already done. We want to agree. Agree. Whilst you are praying now, don't pray like a cursed man. You are praying from a position of the blessing of God. You are praying as a blessed woman. Forget everything else happening around you that suggests otherwise. You are praying from a place of success. How do successful people pray? How do they pray? Make a decision now. It's up to you to pray now. You pray like a servant or you pray like a king. We are kings and we are priests. Watch how you ask as a king. Sometimes when we make demands, we are not demanding from God. We demand from nature. Because we know nature has it.
Yes.
Environments are pregnant with what was given to us by God. So sometimes when you see us being so aggressive, it's not, we are not doing that against God. No, we know what was coming to us was put in certain places and it can stay there for a very long time. That's why those years we used to preach about the answer that came from God, and there was the prince of Persia in the atmosphere. It was a message for that time, of course. But you see, the thing was already given to the prophet, and yet the prophet was still without the answer. So if Daniel is to pray and make demands, he is demanding from an atmosphere that is keeping an answer. He's not demanding from God. So when you speak like a king, nature will hand over its resources to you. Creation will be at your service. Why? Everything created by God was given a program by God to obey the king. The king in you. When that one makes demands, every other creation is a servant to you. Are you following this? We are praying as kings. When you make a demand, it's not a demand from God. No, you know God has given it to you, but something, some way is holding what was given to you. It took one man to look at a tree and know there is a chair in this tree. It took one man to look at a horn and see there's a jewelry in this. It took one man to look at a rock, a metal rock, and see a plane. At that time, a rock, you could not ride on the back of a rock and fly in the sky. But it took somebody with an understanding that everything, even flying, including flying, was given to me by God. But it's captured within a metal rock. The ability to bring it out now, it takes a king, a royal mentality. After prayer, you are conditioned for success. But do you now know what to do with that conditioning? You have been set up already for victories. As we are praying, as you leave this place, be sensitive every step you take. You are walking into successful places. Make successful decisions. Are you following me on that one? Mm-hmm. There is no more defeat again. Are you following me? So we are going to raise our voices and we are going to pray. If I move around, it's up to me. Okay? It's up to me. Don't worry. Don't be bothered. Don't try to look behind. Where is he? It's not that's not important as of now. As we are ministering, as we are praying, if you have a seed, at any point you feel it's time for you to give, you make sure that you have your seed in your hand. And you are praying whilst you have your seed in your hand. Until we are done, we are going to push this thing until somebody here starts to walk in his royal life, her royal life, being conditioned for success. We are not asking amiss. And not every asking here, are we asking from God? No. It was given. It's no longer in the hands of God. Somebody, somewhere has it. Someone, somewhere is in possession of what was given. Not to him, to you. To you. To you. How do I know this? You know, when I stand before a physician, look at our doctors here. If I'm to stand before him, I know what was given to him by God. It's health. Not necessarily for him, for me. It's for me. The ability in him to cure was so that he cures who? Me. It takes a person like myself, who knows, when I look at him, I'm so confident that when my health came from God, it did not come to my house. It came to you. So I approach him knowing what he carries on my behalf. It's mine. So I will not make demands from God. I will make demands from him. So atmospheres today are going to release. Clouds from above are going to release. There is nothing today that is ever going to hold on to what was given to you. So you will have success and victories and blessings flying from every direction, even as you are praying. Lift your voice wherever you are and begin to pray. Just pray.